Blog Talk Radio.
Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority. Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Let's exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify and glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Hello, everyone. It was one of those old songs from, you know, the yesterdays of worship, and the Lord just put it on our hearts as He poured out His spirit of worship over us on this day, the Lord's Day, Sunday, Columbus Day weekend, on October 11th, 2009, at approximately 12:59 p.m. And, you know, we are still standing. There's been so many vicious rumors flying around in the body of Christ. I guess there's one particular person on YouTube who was just definitely convinced, and I know it's from the evil one, that, the White House is going to explode with an underground nuclear bomb on October 11th. And my husband and I, when we heard that bad report, and I know other people have heard it, you know, we went on our knees, you know, we asked the Lord to forgive that man for his false representation of you and what you have ordained for this time. And we just totally asked for mercy. We plead the blood of Jesus on this nation.
1 o'clock.
And we plead the blood of Jesus upon this man and all those who, for some reason, are shaken up to the core of the being, that they are now operating in fear instead of faith and also unbelief. And, there are times that there are seasons. There's definitely seasons in the body of Christ in general, and there are seasons in men's individual lives, whether you're a woman or a male in the Lord. And if you're following Jesus, and there are seasons, even if you're not following Jesus, but you don't understand that unless you have the Holy Spirit. And what happens is that, you know, we do go through dark nights of the soul, and, you know, when you're following the Lord, you go through actually both dark nights of the soul and dark nights of the spirit. And a lot of times people, they don't understand the seasons in which they live in, and so there is a spirit of confusion that comes over them, and they minister out of the dark night of the soul when they should be resting in the Lord and waiting on Him for instruction. So just thought that, you know, I'd share that with you and all those who hear these negative reports from people who have negative perspectives on life in general. We really have compassion on them, but, get right into prayer, okay, and strengthen that part of the body that seems to be weak at this time. So I'm Dr. Shirley Cannon, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Cannon, and we represent WSCIRO. We're general managers of WSCIRO, and for those who are just coming on for the first time listening to us, WSCIRO is an internet radio broadcast and outreach of Sea Christian Teaching and Worship Center ministry. It stands for Sea Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. So at some point we will have a show just to give a testimony on how this came about. It's all from the hands of the Lord, because to be honest with you, if you look at our financial status, we have no money. So, you know, what we have is the blessing of the Lord. And the Lord can move through monetary finances, or he can move to favor. So I think we're, our equity that the Lord's given to us is favor. And I just wanted, and the reason why I'm using that word equity is that our last show, radio show, we started to explore the, within the scriptures of the Old Testament, Psalm 98. It was something that the Lord had put into my spirit when I was doing laundry, and I go into great lengths and to explain that on part one of Psalm 98. So for those who really want to understand more of what we're talking about, you need to go to the previous show and listen to that in its entirety, and then come to our archives. So this will be archived. It's an archived broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. So we have two kinds of listeners. We actually have listeners who have their own show, and they have to, they get invited by our link, and we submit it to folks on Facebook. We have a show called Faith Talk Live Prayer. That's an internet television, a blog, TV, but for the most part, Facebook. But there's a lot of people of faith on Facebook, and it should be called Facebook, but that's another show. Maybe we when we get our server up and running, we can actually have the Christian component of Facebook. just food for thought, dear. I'm kind of nudging my husband as he's diligently writing in his notebook. Okay, you got that, Jeff? Dr. Jeff. Anyway, all kidding aside, we just want to say welcome you to our friends on YouTube, and our soon-to-be friends on YouTube and Facebook. We just want to give us, a warm welcome and hug to you, to all of you who, have just been so kind to us as far as just give us encouraging words. You know, that's worth a lot of weight in gold. The encouraging words are God's way of just giving us that, little pat on the shoulder that lets us say, people are listening, they are getting blessed, and continue to do what he's calling us to do. So, and at times it may shift, it may change, and we don't always know exactly when we're going to broadcast. We have an idea, but we definitely wait on the leading of the Holy Spirit to give us a teaching from heaven. So I just want everybody to open up to Psalm 98. We are going to probably do this for about 40 minutes. We're going to go back and forth, give a teaching. We may stray a little bit and, give a witness as it relates to the teaching. That's how the Lord does it through us. He gives us revelation, gives us a teaching, and then he gives us a witness that would, clarify how he works through the Holy Spirit in our lives in relation to the teaching. And at times it gets contagious because some of you out there may have that a similar story, may not be the exact story because you are on your own individual unique walk with the Lord. So, your story may be a little different with some things that can connect with our story, and that's just how the Lord does it, He puts in the surprise, that's what, when these people are talking, the way that they're talking from their own experience with how the Lord works in their lives and in response to the Word of God, the Rhema and the Logo Word, then, there's an aha in that relates to them, that's the Lord just drawing them, It's not as complex as we think. It's very, very simple. Very simple. I'm going to start by going back to Psalm 98, and then we're going to also relate Psalm 98 to Beatitudes, because there's something in here that, at the end of the other broadcast, the Lord was saying, you're not done teaching the scripture. I have more, and it's going to be a part two. And I asked him, well, what's the part two? And he just highlighted it in my mind. I love when he does this. Let's see. At the end of Psalm 98, when it says he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Now, I'm going to go back to reading Psalm 98. For those who, you know, are cheating and you just don't have the time to go back to part one. So, you know, I'm just going to refresh your mind and heart. And, you know, you can take some notes if you get revelation, if you get pictures and things like that. So, and feel free, like, if you're inspired in any way by this broadcast, feel free to visit Facebook, because that's a primary social media venue is Facebook, because everybody comes onto Facebook, and we are able to put our YouTube channel on Facebook as well as Twitter. We Twitter anything, anybody. We Twitter anything to anybody. Everything that we feel is inspirational to everybody from our Facebook page and through the ping.com network. Anyway, I have to put my glasses on. I have bifocals now. Sometimes my eyes are great, and for some reason, sometimes they are not so great. Anyways, but praise God from whom all blessings flow. I'm open to healing. So, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. And we have to stop and think, how does he do that? He does that to people groups. Sometimes they're not necessarily Christian. Sometimes they have Christian values. I mean, the Lord used Gandhi in a very powerful way. But when somebody had asked Gandhi, well, how can we ever embrace Christianity? Because he was Hindu. He said that he wasn't totally convinced that people were...
I like your Christians, but I like your Christ, but I don't like you Christians.
Right,
because they didn't live up to it.
Right, and people, that's what people are looking for. They're looking for a people called followers of Jesus that will live up to what Jesus says. And when you relate to most of the world that is not the United States of America, okay, a lot of the struggles are not issues of morality, so to speak, like it is in America, but it's more like, you know, social justice not being meted out in a way that blesses all, okay? So you need to understand that. Yes, there are people that are struggling with morality, but the immoral thing is, genocide, people deliberately withholding food, shelter, and clothing from people in general, and that's, our basic needs. That's what is a given when you're alive on this planet, and you know, and also, when illnesses break out, they should be always without pay. Without cost, people should have access to good quality health care. So these are the givens. I know everybody's saying, well, Jesus does heal, but there need to be people, followers of Jesus, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that flow in that power. But when you pick and choose who you love and who you don't love by making all these excuses of why you shouldn't help people out, that's picking and choosing, and that's being a respecter of persons, and the Lord is not a respecter of persons. Okay? So, the Lord has made all his salvation known, he has, and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, the trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge. Now, listen to this. Now, this oftentimes comes out of, it's received in, out of context, all right? We're going to talk about the judgments of the Lord. They're not the judgments that you think, all right? So let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. All right, I'm going to say this again. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. I'm going to go back to the previous scripture, Psalm 98, verse 9. Let them sing. Who are them that sing? It's the worshipers, okay? The worshipers, the frontline warriors, the worshipers, okay? As we worship before the throne of our God, okay, in the Holy of Holies, some people are out-of-court worshipers, and there are people that are inner-court worshipers, and there are people that worship at the Holy of Holies. There's different levels, definitely different levels of worship, okay? And it's according to the cleanliness of a person's heart, okay? And so, God has a place for everyone who is called to worship. And so these are the ones that are singing. Let them sing before the Lord. He comes to judge the earth, okay, in righteousness, okay? Not destruction, righteousness. He turns the hearts of people towards him. You know, that's the beauty of worship. It's an avenue that it's like a pipeline into the heavens, where the glory comes in to the earth and the love of the Father comes and the presence of the Lord comes, all right? It's coming to the earth through the worship. And we need to strengthen the cords of worship in the body of Christ. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Now, my husband, I asked my husband in a dear way, in a nice way. I said, husband, can you so kindly look up equity? Because we hear it in different ways, you know, especially in these hard economic times. The equity of houses, you know. What is equity? You know, and why is the Lord judging the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity? What is he doing? And we will answer that question. We'll try to answer that question. We don't have a full answer because we're not God, but we can give you an idea as to what the Lord is revealing to us from heaven. And so my husband's going to read the definition of equity. Okay.
According to Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary, the word first definition of equity is justice according to natural law or right, specifically freedom from bias or favoritism, something that is equitable. And when we relate that to God, what that means is because God knows every detail about every situation, he doesn't need, he is not biased because he knows the choices you will make. He is not biased because he knows the good things that are going to come out of your relationship with him, and he completely knows everything. He can't be lied to about it. And God, therefore, when God moves towards judging or correcting, he's moving without emotion, without biases instilled in his nature. Favoritism. He doesn't lack favoritism. He has no favoritism because he sees it all. He knows all about every situation human beings are in. And therefore, he can be the most just judge of any situation. And
you can read the rest of
it. Let's see. Definition 2A. A system of law originating in the English Chancery, comprising a settled and formal body of legal and procedural rules and doctrines that supplement, aid, or override common and statute law and are designed to protect rights and enforce duties fixed by substantive law. I'm filling that one up.
Can you?
No.
Okay, sir.
definition be trial or remedial justice under or by the rules and doctrines of equity. Definition C, 2C, a body of legal doctrines and rules developed to enlarge, supplement, or override a narrow, rigid system of law. Definition 3A, a right, claim, or interest existing or valid in equity. The one everybody should know, definition 3B, the money value of a property or of an interest in property in excess of claims or liens against it.
Okay. Is that on me to then?
Yep.
Okay. Oh. So, I think we're still on. I think my husband almost shut us off. And I just wanted just to see what the, you know. Yeah, my phone number is still up there. Hopefully we are on. yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Great. So, if we're still on, I'm going to... I think that we are having technical difficulties, but it looks like we are still on. Are we still on? Okay. All right. Well, why don't you try calling in the other room, and you can be my guest on the other phone as we continue, okay? Sorry for the interruption, folks. It looks like we may be still on, and we're just going to continue and step out of faith with this. It looks like our number is up there. We have... for those who are not familiar with Blog Talk Radio, we call in and then we look on the screen. We have a screen that informs us that we are on the air, and it looks like the switchboard has us on, okay? So my husband is going to, I think I'm actually on the mic still. All right, he's going to try calling in to see if this theory holds. And I wanted to go back to equity because I asked the Lord, I inquired of the Lord, and many of you should do that when you're reading scripture. The church, the Catholic Church calls it Lectio Divina. You pray in the scriptures and you're getting a revelation as to, you know, when you're praying the scriptures. So I was asking the Lord about just when, you know, why, you know, what's going on with equity as it relates to the rest of the world and social justice. And my husband just read it down here. And what's the role of the United States in this? And why are Christians, why are followers of Jesus in America have a very hard time with the notion and issue of social justice. And several things came to the forefront of my mind and my heart. And the Lord just pointed to the Beatitudes, okay? Now, Jesus bought us with a price. He purchased us with a price. On Calvary 2,000 years ago. And he purchased us with a price, with the shedding of blood, okay? And, that's why we are his. Now, because of that, all right, there are certain lessons that are applied. He subverted the legalism of the effect of the legal system of the time and the legal system within any government. He subverted that the effects of that on his people. His blood instituted a higher law from the kingdom of heaven. And I think my husband's on air right now, and I'm just going to just include him in on this conversation. Okay. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing? Jeff? Jeff, are you there? Jeff? Hello? Jeff? Well, anyway, he hears me, but I don't know if I hear him. But I'm going to continue. So he instituted a trial law of justice, okay, by writing the laws of heaven, the laws of righteousness on our hearts, on the tablets of our hearts, so that eventually as we grab a hold of his hand and walk with him daily and meditate on the word and be open to his transformation and receive communion, regular communion, on on a regular basis, all right? And we go from glory to glory, and we worship him in spirit and truth because we receive his spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, all right? That that brings us into that place receiving and inheriting all that is in the kingdom of God, all that has purchased for us. So, let's see. I just want to go back up to the justice according to natural law, right? Specifically, freedom from bias or favoritism, something that is equitable. Okay. So the third definition down here is the right claim or interest existing or valued in equity, all right? And I want to go back up to the second definition here. Because it's important. It says trial or remedial justice under or by the rules and doctrines of equity, body of legal doctrines and rules developed to enlarge, supplement, or override a narrow, rigid system of law. And that's what happened. There was like an overridden-ness of this. Okay? So, I just want to just hold on for 1 second and my husband's back in the studio. I heard you on there. I saw you. So you heard me too.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. All right. So you have been Aaron, and that is a good thing. It's a God thing. All right. So that's the equity that was given to us. Now, of course, we're not. We have freedom in the Lord. Total freedom. We worship him in spirit and truth. We have total freedom to follow the dictates of Christ because of what he did. If we make that choice, we still have that freedom of choice. I also go further in Scripture. Where is it in Scripture that, can outline this, okay? Outline this equity, all right? Because this is what he wants for his people. He's saying that he will judge the world in righteousness and the people's with equity, all right? So our judgment to those who receive him, all right, is the Beatitudes. This is from Matthew 5, verses 1 through 11, okay? And I'm going to put my glasses on. So I can read this. I mean, I can read it somewhat, but I'm going to be struggling. I don't want to struggle. But the Lord's giving me the expenses that I need to get my glasses until he comes and totally improves my eyesight. All right, here we go. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. All right? His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All right, so I'm going to say that one more time. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Okay? So, I want to continue. I think I should continue on. This is still part of the Matthew 5 deal here. Salt and light, okay? You are salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds, okay? And praise your Father in heaven. And that, in a nutshell, is righteousness and equity being played out in mankind, in the body of Christ. It's supposed to all point towards people seeing our good deeds and praising your Father in heaven. All right? Yes, salvation, we don't have to work on our salvation because we have it because of what Jesus did. But on the other side of it, we have a life, our life, hidden in Jesus that we are responsible for. And the reason why we're responsible for making sure that our deeds are good and pure, just and holy, according to the statutes of heaven, okay, laid out by the Lord in the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes, okay, that's our way of being accountable to the Holy Spirit and to God through the Holy Spirit, to mankind, because we need to be, I don't want to say promoters of the kingdom of God, but we need to generate the love of the kingdom of God through our actions and our words and our deeds. As we are transformed from glory to glory in our new man, in our new man nature that we receive from the Holy Spirit. So the Lord will raise up all kinds of teachers, some teachers will have a greater gift of the word of knowledge and a gift of prophecy, and others would be more like evangelistic kind of teachers. But all should be in agreement to teaching people to come closer to the Lord, all right, so that the light may shine before men, and so that they would see our good deeds. Because if the light of Christ is not shining forth for men, you need light you need light to shatter the darkness. You need light to see good deeds
and grow in them.
And grow in them.
Because it's not deeds alone that are bringing us into Christ. There is, these deeds made reference to should be expressions of your faith and love for God and in mankind. But these are the works that substantiate that you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that means you're allowing God to lead you and how that expresses itself in your life. Now, there's natural standing expressions of it, such as if you're married, you have the responsibility to a wife. If you're married with children, you have responsibility to a wife and children. And God can work this out, especially if both of you come to believe at the same level of faith. And then you can work out the details of concerning the children and how to bring them into the faith. But your deeds are supposed to be showing demonstrations of God, your love returning to God, and expressions of actions to bring others deeper into the love of God.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Something that is also standing out in that definition of equity, I just want to go back to freedom from bias or favoritism. Let me go even further ahead of this. Justice according to natural law or right. Freedom from bias or favoritism, something that is equitable. Now, one of the things that really is on, especially in today's society, and in this now move of God, because there's a greater amount of suffering on the earth and a greater amount of people, the Lord is concerned with, how the widows and orphans are treated. And his hand right now is upon the widows and orphans, all right, and children that are being exploited. And it's pain in the heart of the Lord that a lot of his people that are called followers of Jesus, especially in America, where we still, even in this hard economic time, we still have, individually have greater resources than many people in other parts of the world, okay, unless you're a Hollywood actor or actress, or you're a CEO of a company, okay. The thing is, all right, collectively, we can solve a lot of world problems in this area of economic injustice. But I really believe we need to pray for the mind of Christ in order to do this, because from what I read on Facebook, from what I read, and just hearing the real sour words, negative sour words that are coming from people's hearts, and even people, they're now criticizing President Barack Obama for receiving the Nobel Peace Prize, and because he's made an effort of peace, and people are saying, well, he's not Jesus, he's not the Messiah. You know what?
That's not what the scripture says.
Yeah.
It says, blessed are the peacemakers.
Right.
Now, the issue of salvation and other things, not really for a concern, because the final salvation of God, of our lives, it ends up with God. We have to live our lives like we mean what we say, mm-hmm. say what we mean, which means you stop the bitter talk about leaders, you stop the bitter talk about church groups.
Mm-hmm.
Different church affiliations and associations. You just, because you're wasting your time, you're wasting your spiritual energy, you're actually killing the grace of the Holy Spirit in your life by being critical. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're causing him to withdraw his tangibleness from you. He's always there, but you know what? When you get into evil talk, no matter what it is, whether it's, an unsaved person being a really bad mouth person, that's, God doesn't see the difference just because you say you're saved.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
He wants to see evidence.
He wants to see fruit.
He wants to see fruit. In the Matthew 5, this pointer, like, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom. Okay, that indicates that we're supposed to be kingdom walking, not just talking. Walk the talk instead of talk the walk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. We can all talk it easy, but when it comes down to the grunge work that we have to do on our own lives mm-hmm. and in our own soul and spirit, you know what? It takes the courage of a warrior,
mm-hmm.
knowing who or she is before the throne of God, knowing that the power of the cross of Jesus Christ is what brings freedom from sin, freedom from demonic mindsets, and everything else. You are to be totally free in Christ. No exception, no doubt. Don't fall short. God loves you and wants more for you. Embrace it.
So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jeff, for coming under that inspiration of the Holy Spirit to really speak God's heart. But I wanted to clarify some things that the Lord had been revealing to me about why he allowed President Barack Obama to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. And that's because of his efforts. Right now we're in a very, very volatile,
precarious
situation with men's hearts as it relates to world governments and the family of Abraham. And, you know, any step of peace that anyone is willing to take that can produce positive results is what the Lord is ordaining. And so at this point, in order for the Lord to carry out his purposes, there needs to be a degree of peace. Now, true peace and everlasting peace will come when Jesus returns the second time. You are absolutely correct. But during that time, okay, one of the things, one of the gifts and fruits of true followers of Jesus is that they would endeavor to walk in complete peace. And I know some people, some people run after peace. There are different levels of peace. There are different functions of peace in different situations regarding peace. And it depends on what era a generation is in, okay? It seemed that in the 1930s, we came out of the Cold War era, and then we came to this era of there was a certain degree of peace, which allowed for certain changes to happen for the better. Some people think it's for the worse, but everything always worked out for the better glory of God, for the greater glory of God. Because one of the evidences is that we haven't had another Hiroshima, and we are still standing by the grace of God. There have been catastrophes in different parts of the world through the weather and everything, but there's been an equal amount of people helping, all right? People rebuild their nation, rebuild their towns and cities in the case of Hurricane Katrina in America. But, if we didn't endeavor to move in that area of being a peacemaker when it comes to these different issues of humanity, then it would be just total chaos, you know, that word chaos, okay? Peace is a substance, like love is a substance, and faith is a substance, but it's also, when you're followers of Jesus, peace is an expectation, okay? It's an expectation that we should all focus on. We should all be willing to be peacemakers at any cost. That is our primary role here as we bring the kingdom of God to the earth through our good deeds and our actions as dictated to us by the Holy Spirit. Okay? If we do not do that, then we are in rebellion. And what is rebellion? It's witchcraft. Okay? So my antennas go up when I start hearing or reading the writings of individuals on Facebook that are saying these things that I know Jesus wouldn't say. It's like, what do these people? Are they Satanists? Dress up? Are they Satanists or are they Christians? And this is, you can always tell by the heart of the person because of the way that they write, the attitude in which it's written in, and the thought. Okay, and it just turns my stomach, to be honest with you. And I really believe it turns, grieves the Holy Spirit. It's something that we have to constantly be praying into. And I get sad as an individual. I just throw my hands up. But I don't give up. It makes me want to even press in more to pray. Thy kingdom come, Lord, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven, okay? Now, we know that, people in the political realm, they have to function in a certain way, and there's protocols that they have to go through to get things passed. It's not as easy as you think, but the Lord is way above protocol, okay? And the thing is, he also, is the author and finisher of our faith. And I know he's the author and finisher of my faith, and I hope he's the author and finisher of your faith. And, as our prayer life increases, so does our faith level increase. So if we're finding that we are overly critical in times when we should be praying, there's chances are that our faith level, to believe for the things that God wants us to believe for, as it relates to what's in his heart, we need to pray for that greater faith, to walk in that greater faith, and the right words to pray, the words that are also on God's heart. And that's as simple as that. If it's not already there, but you still have the desire to pray, ask the Lord. You know, don't be shameful that you don't have the same degree of faith. Ask Him for it. You receive not because you ask not. And you know, it's just one of those things. If you, I mean,
yeah.
Hold on, Jeff. What?
Before you switch the vein,
yeah.
What you just said. The Lord in the scripture says, if you had the faith of the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thyself removed and cast into the sea, and it would obey you. Faith is small as a mustard seed. So if you're starting with small faith, that's a good beginning. Don't worry about it because God wants to make it grow into a big flowering shrub.
So my question for many of you who I love very dearly, my brothers and sisters, followers of Jesus here in America and abroad, is the question that I really hear in the spirit that the Lord is asking of us. Okay, I include myself in this. All right, is how are we equity in the kingdom of God? How are we meeting that out? How are we moving in that to encourage people, you know, in their walk to, you know, let our light, how are we letting our light shine before men that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven, okay? Because the Lord's calling worshipers. But I'm telling you, what criticism does is it dries up the flow of the worship. It dries up the river, okay? It says earlier in Psalms 98, the rivers clap their hands. We are the river of God. You know, we have his river from the throne flowing through us when we worship. But when we're in criticism and we speak destruction and all these things upon the earth, even if we see it, okay, we are drying up God's river, all right? And where the river is not flowing, there is not life. But where the river is flowing, there is life. And there is life abundantly. So negative, critical words and words of impending doom dry up the flow of the life, the potential flow of the life of God moving through his people. And death results, destruction results, okay? But if you want the opposite, you've got to speak life and life abundantly. And you have to. You have to do it through from the position of prayer. That is the only way, okay? And, peace is a challenge. There are many people that are not peaceful in their heart, okay? And it's so hard, you know? Some people, you know, they want to be peaceful and they don't want to be known as people that are not peaceful. And you know, when God shows them themselves, you know, they freak out, and they either repent or they go for the booze, you know, because they don't want to see themselves, you see. They don't want to see themselves so that they can give themselves back to God and have God come on in there and do a mighty work. You know, and that's what we need to be working on in our walk with the Lord. Yes, we have salvation, but we have to walk out that transformation day in and day out, okay, as he puts us in the different classrooms of our lives. You know, it could be the family classroom. It could be the teacher's, it could be the church classroom. It could, you know, if you're a college student, it could be the college classroom. If you are in the political arena, it could be the political classroom. Media, it could be the media classroom. Where are you shining your light the most? Where are you the most effective, okay? And you know, if people are not clear about that, it's always good, I find, all right, to go to the Beatitudes, all right? And that's Matthew 5 in the New Testament. And I think we're reaching the end of this. We have 12 minutes left, but I think we covered our bases for today. And I just wanted to, take a couple of minutes, and then we'll get into some prayer. For those who, way back in the summertime, had signed on to our free internet media outreach school, at SEEK International Leadership School of Multimedia Ministry. We are still having it. My husband and I have gotten extremely busy after Sir New England had put us on their board, and rightfully so. Thank God that he's moving in that, because we're in the process of building a prayer room, and there is a place where we'll be able to be available for public ministry, and to have people, mini conferences, whatever the Lord wants us to have. I think right now he's calling us to prepare for prayer summits, and but we have to, we're going one step at a time with him, one prayer at a time, and it's just wonderful how God is opening up doors. I mean, he told us to make our school free online, and he was going to open up the heavens, and he's doing it. He's opening up everything just as we give it away, and we're not asking for a price or anything, and it's just so wonderful. And we're starting to get benefactors for helping out serve, because, they are in transition with their administration, and certain things have to get paid off, but we're not even we're just there for them, and God is just doing some awesome things. As his glory cloud comes and rests on that place. I mean, we've seen his glory cloud coming into serving New England a couple of times, and I remember hearing the Lord say, one of those experiences, every time you see the glory cloud, ask for anything in my name, and it will be, I will grant it. So we have a hospitality section of, it's a warehouse, it's a clean warehouse, because obviously we have to be approved by the Board of Health to have the food coming in and out for the people. And so there's a hospitality section that actually, I saw in the spirit that it needed a, I actually saw a leather couch. I told my husband, I see some leather couches there, and a coffee table. We haven't gotten a coffee table yet, but as soon as I said that, and, within a 24-hour time period, someone contacted the office and said that they have free furniture, a year-old leather couches of the same color that I saw. So we went to get that. It was so nice. And so we know that God, I don't like to approach God for the material things, but where it's going to bless a whole lot of people, I believe that, that the Lord judging his people with equity, as we help out, as we endeavor to help out the Lord. I mean, help out the people of God. God doesn't need any help be a co-laborer with the Lord and helping his people out. Oh, so God is so wonderful. He's so awesome. And for those who want to be reminded of what these Beatitudes are, we'll have them posted. I'm going to post them on Facebook. And I'm going to post them on Blog Talk Radio underneath this episode. I think it's important. And then that excerpt from Psalm 98, the last verse, about the Lord judging his people with righteousness and equity. All right, so blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This is the big one. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Now, it doesn't mean the peacemaker is a very, very, is a perfect person. It just means that there's a certain quality in their spirit that the Lord sees, and it can be developed. If it's seen by men, all right, it's because his favor is resting upon that person. And so we have to pray for that person who, whoever these peacemakers are all over the earth, that they will continue, because you really need to have strength in order to run after peace. You know, you have to, it says in Philippians, you got to seek peace and run after it. In order to seek peace and run after it, you have to have strength. You have to have strength of character. You have to have strength of mind, heart, soul, and spirit, will, and emotion. And you get that from the Lord, too. You know, you have to have strength in your weakness. Okay, we all started as weak vessels, so we need the strength of the Lord. We need to ask the Lord for that strength. Okay, we have to, because we can get discouraged. You know, I'm sure that President Barack Obama many times got very discouraged because he does come on Facebook. He reads everything, okay? And it's amazing how everything just flip-flops in America. People don't speak peace. They want other things. They want destruction. They want division. This is the body of Christ. And anybody other than themselves that they, you know, don't think, you know, has the laurels to, the so-called laurels to, you know, be walk after peace. You know, there are people out there that believe in the lion spirit that, well, that person's not worthy of, you know, being a peacemaker, or that person's not worthy of being a leader. Well, if they're not worthy, well, then what about you? Just, you know, you're sitting back on the sideline saying all this stuff, and I just don't see where the fruit is. Where, you know, people are making a difference where they're sitting. So, you know, we really got to look at what are we doing, all right, for that peace. There's many people that shout. So I'm sorry, folks. Shouting is not peace. You know, it really is not. So we have about 5 minutes left, and we're just going to pray. All right. Oh, I want to continue. I need to continue to the best of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So we are going to sign off, but before we sign off, we are going to pray, all right? We need to pray. We need to pray for this country. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for the president. We need to pray the death sentence that's been spoken by so many people over the president of the United States. We have to speak against that. We have to break that power. We have to pray for protection. We also have to pray that the Lord would, and the Lord has shown me that the people that speak like this have an insanity spirit over them, and it's not a good thing. And, you know, because they've taken things that, and it's flip-flopping things around, and speaking lies, getting their information from incredulous or you know, things that are not credible. So about people, about leaders, and about situations. All right, you know, again, we will know them by their fruit, by the effects that they have on media, on the world. And if the change is positive, for the better. Now we have people saying, well, the economy is getting better, but it's not to do with Barack Obama. Well, let's just put it this way: before President Barack Obama, became our 44th president, the economy was going down anyways. Okay, and it was because of the choices of the previous administration, and he just inherited this. But it seems like the choices that he's made and that people in his administration are making, it seems to be for the better. Now, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Yes, we do. But the Lord has shown me that when you, that the peace of Jerusalem will come when God's people become peaceful. The Lord is saying, as he surrounds the Jerusalem, the mountains, he surrounds, listen, as the Lord surrounds his people, the Lord surrounds Jerusalem, you know, the mountains of Jerusalem, like he surrounds his people. And we need to, really need to unite in that. So as we allow him to surround us, okay, he will surround Jerusalem. It's, we really get a, it's not, you know, you use the leaders to try to prolong peace between nations, but it's really up to the body of Christ. We need to be peaceful among ourselves. We need to pray Psalm 122, okay, to strengthen our city walls, strengthen our walls in the spirit, and to be peaceful. As we're peaceful with one another, the Lord will bring peace to Jerusalem, okay? It's not the political fight that everybody thinks it is. So anyways, Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. We ask that you, we have 1 minute left, Lord, so you know you can move in 1 minute. We thank you, Lord. We give you this radio show, and everyone that's listened to this, Lord, we ask that you open up their ears and their eyes, Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would transform their heart to be more like yours. We thank you, Lord, that no weapon fashioned or formed against them. We thank you, Lord, that no weapon fashioned or formed against them in the mighty name of Jesus would prosper. That, Lord, that they would receive the mind of Christ, okay? And it would, there would be utterance of the true word coming from heaven. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the peacemakers that you are raising up at this time. Lord, let us all endeavor to be your peacemakers so that we may, that they may see, the world may see our good deeds and praise our Father who is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours now and forever. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, just heal the body of Christ. We pray that all, you know, that all those who seek division will cease their efforts, and that they will endeavor to seek the things after peace and pray, and we ask, Lord, for in their weakness that you would give them the strength to run after that peace. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for the ministry, the peacemaking ministry as it goes forth throughout the earth. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, and bless you, bless the widows, the orphans, and the children in Jesus' holy name. We love you. Thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio, and catch us on Faith Talk Fly Prayer in a couple of weeks. Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.